Okay, so what were we studying? Anyone remembers anything? Yes.
Chopadi Swayambar.
Chopadi Swayambar. Okay.
Pandavas and Drupad were having a problem because Drupad didn't agree to Chopadi marrying 5 husbands.
Okay.
So then Vyasadeva comes and shows Drupad that actually they're all one person as Indra. Just 5 Indras that have come down to earth.
Okay. And then, okay. And then, okay. Okay. Something else there? Yes.
King Drupad said, you know, like, what was this? 5 Pandavas is actually Brahma, just 5 Pandavas. And fighting and.
Fighting and.
Hiding.
Hiding.
Yeah. And Marishan, his daughter.
They were hiding.
Yeah. In Brahma, I suppose.
But Hari knew they were in the potter's house, so then? Okay. So how did Drupad, what were his methods to find out who the Pandavas were? Yes.
They put different, like, sorts of articles, like, for vices, brahmins, shudras, and kshatriyas. Mm-hmm. So he would see for which the Pandavas would go, so he could see from which one they were.
Okay. Okay. That was one of the things. Something else?
Character. How comfortable they were having walked, having talked, like with the with your family around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it means when they served in prasad, where did they serve prasad? You were saying?
Just their character, the way they spoke, the way they dealt with each other, their interests.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then Dhristadyumna, then he went and spied, so he saw that. Then when they came to the palace.
They're sorting that gap. So in a few minutes you'll have the 10 pages
of the gap.
Investing of the gap.
So we don't have to mind the gap.
3 pages, yeah, so you can just stop when after 3 pages. And
oh, so we have to mind the gap until
it
shows
up.
Okay, we'll mind the gap. Okay. You're minding the gap also. Okay, so... Yeah, so between Dhristadyumna going and spying on them, seeing that when they would take rest and they would just talk about all kinds of Kshatriya topics. Then when they were invited to the palace, that then all royal arrangements were made for their seating and their eating and that, and they were very comfortable with it. And then afterwards, then they had all the paraphernalia laid out. So then they immediately just went by all the others and went straight to the paraphernalia of the Kshatriyas. So then Drupad was happy then, and then he asked him, who are they? And Yudhishthira explained. Why would Yudhishthira explain at this point and not before? Yes.
Because now he is a powerful ally, which is King Drupad.
Yes, because Drupad can defeat the Kauravas, so now with them as an ally, they're very strong, so they can come out of hiding. Okay? So now we are up to the point where he showed that they were the 5 Pandavas. But then, up to now, then they were also explaining about Draupadi. You know, how it is that she ends up with 5 husbands, right? So he's shown that they're Indras, and now we're going to learn how she ends up with 5 husbands. Observing the Pandavas in the forms of those Indras of old, and Arjuna also in the form of Indra, sprung from Chakra himself, King Drupad was highly pleased. The monarch wondered much on beholding that manifestation of celestial power under deep disguise. The king, looking at his daughter, that foremost a woman, endued with great beauty, like unto a celestial damsel, and possessed of the splendor of fire or the moon, regarded her as the worthy wife of those celestial beings, for her beauty, splendor, and fame. And beholding that wonderful sight, the monarch touched the feet of Satyavati's son, exclaiming, O great Rishi, nothing is miraculous in thee. The Rishi then cheerfully continued, in a certain hermitage there was an illustrious Rishi's daughter, who, though handsome and chaste, obtained not a husband. The maiden gratified by severe ascetic penances the god Shankara. The Lord Shankara, gratified at her penances, told her himself, "Ask thou the boon thou desirest." Thus addressed, the maiden repeatedly said unto the boon-giving Supreme Lord, "I desire to obtain a husband possessed of every accomplishment." Shankara, the chief of the gods, gratified with her, gave her the boon she had asked, saying, "Thou shalt have, amiable maiden, 5 husbands." The maiden, who had succeeded in gratifying the gods, said again, "O Shankara, I desire to have from thee only 1 husband, possessed of every virtue." The god of gods, well pleased with her, spake again, saying, "Thou hast, O maiden, addressed me 5 full times, repeating, 'Give me a husband.' Therefore, O amiable one, it shall be as thou hast asked. Blessed be thou. All this, however, will happen in a future life of thine." Right? So she was very enthusiastic that when he came and said, "What do you want?" She said, "I want a husband, I want a husband, I want a 5 times." And then he said, "Yes, you'll get 5 husbands." So one should be very careful about how you say, in one time repeating something too many times. Right? Okay. Vyas continued, "O Drupad, this thy daughter of celestial beauty is that maiden. Indeed, the faultless Krishna, sprung from Prishata's race, hath been preordained to become the common wife of 5 husbands. The celestial Shri, having undergone severe ascetic penances, hath, for the sake of the Pandavas, had her birth as thy daughter in the course of thy grand sacrifice." Who is this celestial Shri? Indrani, right? It's different from Vishnu Shri. She's the transcendental Shri. Like, celestial Shri means heavenly planet Shri. So that is Dana Lakshmi. You know the one that stands there alone with all the coins, gold coins coming out of her palms? Right? Because you don't see Vishnu there? Right? So that's what the materialists want. They want Lakshmi with all the money, but no Vishnu, right? Because then the money is theirs. Right? Vishnu's there, it's his money. Right? So that means it can't be Vishnu's Lakshmi. So it's actually Indra's wife. That handsome goddess, waited upon by all the celestials, as a consequence of her own acts, becomes the common wife of 5 husbands. It is for this that the self-create had created her. Having listened to all this, O King Drupad, do what thou desirest. So he's saying that she came for this purpose. She was given this boon. She was created to be the husband, the wife of the 5 Pandavas, who are also Indras. And so now he's saying, so you do as you like, because otherwise then he'll be, it's up to him. Ultimately, everybody has a choice. This idea, no, you have to do this or have to do that. No, that's what's recommended. That's what you should do, right? If you want to be in a certain circumstance, then you have to do that. If you don't do that, then you have to adjust your circumstances. Right? But free will is always there. Yes?
Now, it's also interesting how was not given the choice to her, but to the father. She didn't have the choice, even though she was created for that.
No, but she's already made her choice. Mm-hmm. She's made her choice that she asked for 5 husbands, she'll get 5 husbands. But now it's a matter of him if he wants to approve it or not. Because otherwise he approves it, then they have, a Brahma wedding and all those things. Doesn't approve it, then by destiny they would be married anyway, but it's without his approval, so therefore then you get inferior children and everything like this. So that's why it's always recommended that it has the father's approval. Like that. So then in this case, then, he's arranging it, then he'll take. So, because we see, it's Swayambhar, so it was her choice on whether she, who she wanted, because when the rule was set is whoever can hit the mark gets Draupadi. But when Karna stepped up, she said, no, I won't accept him. Even if he hits the mark, still she doesn't accept. So that free will is always there. That's the thing in the Vedic literature. one is always free, but one is completely aware of what are all the consequences of your acts. So then you make the choice, it's an educated choice. One may say, no, but I want it to be different, but that doesn't work like that. You know, it's like, I stick pepper in the grinder, I grind the pepper, then I can't say, I want cumin powder. No, you'll get pepper powder. Like that. So that's the thing the living entity is thinking, doesn't understand what free will means. Right? You steal, then it's your free will to that you've accepted the option of going to jail. Right? But you're saying, no, I wanted to steal and not go to jail, but they come together. You know, you can't separate the two. You know, it's like I take a bath, I will get wet. You can't say I'm going to take a bath and not get wet. You know, it just the two come together. So like that, then everybody has that free will. Like that. It's just that one wants it to go differently. But the rules of nature, laws of nature are already there, so it will work in that way. So it's, the Vedic culture means they're educated according to those laws, so they know what will happen. So therefore, their choices are less illusory. There still may be the illusion that I want to enjoy, but they understand its enjoyment under superior authority, and the superior authority is what makes the rules. Well, non-Vedic means they think that they actually have options that don't exist, and they don't actually know that they're working under authority. So that's why they're in more illusion. You know, it's a perversion of the perversion. Like that. Right down. Is that okay? Okay. Section 200. Vaishampayana said, Draupad, on hearing this, observed, O great Rishi, it was only when I had not heard this from thee that I had sought to act in the way I told thee of. Now, however, that I know all, I cannot be indifferent to what hath been ordained by the gods. Therefore do I resolve to accomplish what thou hast said. The knot of destiny cannot be untied. Nothing in this world is the result of our own acts. That which hath been appointed by us in view of securing only one bridegroom hath now terminated in favor of many. As Krishna in a former life hath repeatedly said, O give me a husband, and the great God himself gave her the boon she had asked. The God himself knows the right or wrong of this. As regards myself, when Shankara hath ordained so, right or wrong, no sin can attach to me. Let these with happy hearts take, as ordained, the hand of Krishna with the rites. Right? So, being a Kshatriya, he has to act according to the rules. And according to the rules, then he must be religious. Right? But now, if there is any fault in this decision, It's Draupadi's destiny, and it's been ordained by Lord Shiva. So it has nothing to. So he's not at fault. So therefore, now he's very comfortable with it. What would be another reason that he would be very much comfortable with Lord Shiva, you know, and his decisions, you know, as far as when it comes to what happens with his children, he's a more. Oh, this is the 10. Okay. Right? Anybody know? Why would he be specifically comfortable with Lord Shiva's, you know, blessings in this regard when it comes to children?
He's the Lord of Progeny.
He's Lord of Progeny, but he specifically has a personal experience. Who's one of Draupadi's brothers?
Drishtadyumna
and Shikundi. And Shikundi was born as a girl. But how was this girl obtained? Right? Through the blessings of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva said they would have a son. Right? So then when a daughter was born, they just treated her like a son. Because Shiva said, It'll be a son, even though it was a girl. So they trained her like a girl, trained her like a boy, dressed her like a boy, everything like a boy. They even married her off, you know, to another girl, right? And then that's what started this whole enmity, right? Like that, when the girl's wife found out that her husband was a girl, then, you know, so it was 5,000 years ago, so it wasn't so popular, but whatever. So then she complained to her father, and a war was about to start. So Shakuni, then made an arrangement with a yaksha that they would change genders. So then she became a boy, and then Kuvera was unimpressed with this involvement in human affairs and told the yaksha, okay, you're going to remain a girl until Shikhandi dies, like that. You understand? So this is the second time he's dealt with Lord Shiva and his particular arrangements. So, and they're quite unique, so therefore that's what he says. It's whether it's right or wrong, that's his lookout. I don't worry about that. All I know is that he's made the decision. More pages.
No, the last 41.
Oh, okay. I'm not supposed to finish all these today. Vaishampayana continued. Then the illustrious Vyas, addressing Yudhishthira, the just, said, "This day is an auspicious day, O son of Pandu. This day the moon has entered the constellation called Pushya. Take thou the hand of Krishna today, thyself first before thy brothers." When Vyas had said so, King Yajnasena and his son made preparations for the wedding. Right, so he said, let's have this, but it's only with Vyasa's blessing he's getting it done. Does that make sense? So even though he's the king, he still does everything with the Brahmins. Right? Because that's always the principle. The king works with the Brahmins, the parents work with the Brahmins, right? The community works with the Brahmins. It's always the Brahmins are the central feature when it comes to an actual final decision. Right? You make a plan, you make a determination, but still it's with their blessings then it works. Does that make sense? That's the principle. The monarch kept ready various costly articles as marriage presents. Then he brought out his daughter Krishna, decked after a bath with many jewels and pearls. Right? So why would that particular thing be mentioned? That after bathing she was decked with so many jewels and ornaments for the wedding? Why would that specific point be made? What does it, so out of the eight kind of marriages, what does this define it as, if this point is being made? Brahma, right? Brahma marriage means the girl is given to an appropriate boy by the father after dressing her in nice dress and ornaments. Does that make sense? So just that it mentions this point means it was a Brahma wedding. Does that make sense? Yeah. Then there came to witness the wedding all the friends and relatives of the king, ministers of state, and many brahmanas and citizens. Right? Why they're not just called guests? Right? You have a marriage here. You invite so many guests. Why were they called witnesses?
So there's a relationship.
Relationship. Yes. And then it establishes that it happened. Right? What happened with Shakuntala? They had a marriage. Were there any witnesses? No, there was problem. Right? So therefore, when you invite so many people, you have so many witnesses, they'll go back to everybody and tell everybody that they're married. And then no one will have any problem with it. Understand? So the guests are the witnesses. Right?
They all took their seats according to their respective ranks, adorned with that concourse of principal men, with its yard decked with lotuses and lilies scattered thereupon, beautified with lines of troops, King Drupad's palace festooned around with diamonds and precious stones, looked like the firmament studded with brilliant stars. Then those princes of the Kuru line, endued with youth, adorned with earrings, attired in costly robes, and perfumed with sandal paste, bathed and performed the usual religious rites. Then, accompanied by their priest, Domya,
who was possessed with of the splendor of fire, entered the wedding hall one after another in due order with glad hearts, like mighty bulls entering a cow pen. Domya, well conversant with the Vedas, ignited the sacred fire, then poured, with due mantras, libations of clarified butter into that blazing element. Calling Yudhishthir there, Domya, acquainted with mantras, united him with Krishna. Walking around the fire, the bridegroom and the bride took each other's hands. Right, so what's that, walking around the fire, taking each other's hand? What's that? What does that signify? What ritual is that? Right? What do they go around the fire? Right? Has it been a long time since we've had this class, or is this actually all just very well-made papier-mâché cutouts? Or okay, the Asmakramana and Lajhoma, then they go around the fire, right? And then the seven steps. So in that, the boy is holding the girl's hand, right? When the Laj is put in everything. That's the central point of the marriage, right? So that's mentioned here. Otherwise, so many things are there. But when it's said that he held the hand, they went around the fire, then that means the wedding was accomplished. Does that make sense? So we see is just by catching one thing here and there, you catch what actually works. Right? You don't have to explain too much. You just have to explain something that if that's happening, then you know that the whole thing happened. You know? Does that make sense? You know, if I say is that yes, then, you know, everything was arranged, they set back, and then, you know, after the meal, then the Brahmins were laughing, and they were, you know, very comfortable and everything. Then what does that mean?
Just before the Purnahuti
Maharaj. No, I'm talking about at lunch, yes.
That was a good, enjoyable meal?
Yes, means Brahmins, only if they're completely full, it was well served, it was nicely done, everything, then afterwards they'll laugh. Right? So it's Yudhishthir mentions that the Rajasuya sacrifice feed the Brahmins until they're laughing. So that means it's that much of that quality and that well served. And he would serve 100,000 at one time. So that means that's some serious arrangements. Yes.
This was before the Purnahuti, they were going around the fire?
Because yes, that's before. Because that's the actual. Around that's you're just respecting the fire. But they go around the fire three times. That's actually the marriage. The putting the foot on the stone, he holds the hand while they put the ludge, then she pours the ludge into the fire. Then they go around the fire three times. That's actually the seventh thing. Then they take seven steps together. Because it's considered that when you take seven steps with anybody together, it means consciously, then you're friends. Right? So the main central thing of the marriage is companionship, because that's what always will be there. So they become companions for life by those seven steps. But the actual marriage is the going around the fire and the Laj Homa and that. That's the main. So that combination, that's the core of the wedding. So if you either said they finished the seven steps or they went around the fire, or they helped those things, that's any of those. So you can take either any of them that you like. But the idea is what we're saying is as a literary, what you call it? Embellishment, or what do you call it?
Device.
Literary device is that you want to describe something, but you simply say what is the essential point that doing that, you know that the whole thing's accomplished. Right? Does that make sense? Otherwise, Mahabharata's so big, everything's being described. You can't describe everything in detail, but if you hit the essence, then you know it's done. Right? Does that make sense? Right here, it says they took their bath and everything like that with all the ritual. So that means all the different preliminaries before the rites. Right? She took her bath. She was dressed nicely. So then she had her bath with all the mantras and all that. That's the preliminary jati karma. Or not jati, gyati karma. Like that. Does that make sense? So all the essential points are already obtained here. You don't have to explain anything else. Yes?
So the more cultured the person or the body is, the more relevant the literature.
Yes, that's the point. It's because the more you understand, the more you understand what's going on here. Everyone's according to their rank, what they will be, that they're all witnesses. That means then there's relationship there. They will take part. If you're a witness, means you noticed the wedding rather than sit there and just gossip until they get to the Mangala Sutra or something like that. That's what happens in most weddings, right? You've been to 50 weddings by the time you're at, you know, some wedding in your family, and then they all sit there and gossip for the whole time. And then at the point that's important to their community, then everybody pays attention for that 30 seconds, and, you know, they'll start, hey, the Mangala Sutra like this, then they all like this. Then after they go back to the gossip. But here, their witness means that they pay attention. It was, you know, it's a whole different environment. Like that. Okay. Then we see Domya, splendor of fire. That means by his potency. It's very great. Like that. And also here, fumed with sandalwood paste. Sandalwood paste is considered gandha. That is scent. Right? Sandalwood paste, you put so many things into it. So it's the basis of it. Like even in the oils and all that, they're all done on sandalwood. Right? So it's always, you know, smell means sandalwood, right? And then it can have any variety after that. Okay. Walking around the fire, the bridegroom and the bride took each other's hand. After the union was complete, the priest Domya, taking leave of Yudhishthir, that ornament of battles, went out of the palace. Right? Because it said that after the yajna, the priest should just go. Don't hang around, right? Yagyante brahmana ripahu. When the yajna is finished, the brahmin becomes the enemy. Right? Means he's treated like one because it's done. So everybody will, you know, it's like they only care about the wedding. The priest does the ritual. So once it's done, the priest should just then move to the. He shouldn't try to be the center of attention because he won't be. He'll only be insulted if he does. He should just move to the side, and then they'll take care of him as that. But right now, everyone will go. It's all Draupadi and Yudhishthir and the family and the food. And you understand? So the priest is the center during the ritual. When the ritual is over, then he just goes to the side. So it says immediately he just leaves the palace. He goes to whatever his arrangement. Does that make sense? So that means everybody is the center of attention. Everybody gets their 15 minutes, right? Like that. So that's the idea. So know what it, anybody tries to keep a hold of it the whole time, it will create trouble. Right? The girl, she was the center at her wedding. She had fabulous clothes, fabulous jewelry. Now when it's her daughter's wedding, she wears the same fabulous stuff and outdoes her daughter. That's sinful. Then her son gets married. She wears the same stuff and outdoes his son's daughter, the wife also. This is sinful. Point is that she had her time, now it's the other girl's time. You understand? So everybody has their time. Doesn't matter who you are, everybody becomes prominent. Right? It's not that only the Brahmin's prominent, only the king. No, here the girl and the husband become prominent. Or, you know, the father, Draupad, he's now, you know, he arranges everything, you know? And he's very happy. And does that make sense? So that's the point in the culture. It's balanced because everybody gets their time. But it's when it's appropriate. Does that make sense? When the ritual is there, the Brahmin should be prominent. But when the ritual is over, then the couple are prominent. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Why was it mentioned that the other four Pandavas didn't go around the fire with Draupadi?
No, because this was Yudhishthir's wedding.
Oh, so they are going to have four more weddings?
Yeah, okay. Each had a full wedding with Draupadi. So keep that in mind, anyone who's getting married, it should be a full wedding for each. like that, okay. Then those mighty Kaur warriors, those perpetrators of the Kuru line, those princes attired in gorgeous dresses, took the hand of that best of women, day by day in succession, aided by that priest. O king, the celestial Rishi told me of a very wonderful and extraordinary thing in connection with these marriages, namely that the illustrious princess of slender waist regained her virginity every day after a previous marriage. Right? Because the full wedding rites is only the rite of virgins. Right? Means everything that Gopal Bhatta says from the beginning to end, only virgins technically can have use all those rites. If they're not, then they would only use part of the rites, right? Because then you would only perform part of it. You'd only perform the main essential point of the wedding. You wouldn't do all the purifications and all the preliminaries and conclusions and all those things. You would just do actually just which is the core thing for a remarriage. So she's not remarrying. So she's doing the whole thing. So she is actually also then purified five times, right? Instead of once. So then, you know, it also makes it very special. After the weddings were over, King Drupad gave unto those mighty Kaur warriors diverse kinds of excellent wealth. The king gave unto them 100 cars with golden standards, each drawn by 4 steeds with golden bridles. And he gave them 100 elephants, all possessing auspicious marks on their temples and faces, and like unto 100 mountains with golden peaks. He also gave them 100 female servants, all in the prime of youth, clad in costly robes, ornaments, and floral wreaths. The illustrious monarch of the lunar race gave unto each of those princes of celestial beauty, making the sacred fire a witness of his gifts, much wealth and many costly robes and ornaments of great splendor. The sons of Pandu, endued with great strength, after their weddings were over, and after they had obtained Krishna, like unto a second Shri, along with great wealth, passed their days in joy and happiness, like so many Indras in the capital of the king of the Panchalas. Right? Why does it say he gave them so much wealth in the witness of the fire? What would that mean?
It's part of
the ceremony, right? It's not afterwards. It means when there's something given after the girl is given, but then at the end, that's when it gives. That's specifically the priest, but there's given right after the girl is given, right after they tie the hands and everything like that. At that time, does that make sense? So then it's there. It's not then afterwards, and everybody also sees and appreciates and all that, right? Because somebody likes to do things; they like it to be seen, so it's written in. Everybody will see what you give, like that. So, section 201. Vaishampayana said, King Drupad, after his alliance with the Pandavas, had all his fears dispelled. Indeed, the monarch no longer stood in fear even of the gods. Why would he have no fear?
Because Arjuna, especially Arjuna, is there. It can defeat even demigods.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. You were going to say something? Same thing. Okay. Yeah. So now he can defeat the Kauravas. They can defeat the gods. They are gods themselves. So then, you know, he's doing fine. The ladies of the illustrious Drupad's household approached Kunti and introduced themselves unto her, mentioning their respective names and worshipping her feet with heads touching the ground. Krishna, also attired in red silk and her wrists still encircled with the auspicious thread, saluting her mother-in-law with reverence, stood contently before her with joined palms. Prita, out of affection, pronounced a blessing upon her daughter-in-law, endued with great beauty and every auspicious mark, possessed of a sweet disposition and good character, saying, Be thou unto thy husband as Sachi unto Indra, Swaha unto Vivatsu, Rohini unto Soma, Damayanti unto Nala, Bhadra unto Vaishravana, Arundhati unto Vishishta, and Lakshmi unto Narayana. O amiable one, be thou the mother of long-lived and heroic children, and be possessed of everything that can make thee happy. Let luck and prosperity ever wait on thee. Wait thou ever on husbands engaged in the performance of grand sacrifices. Be thou devoted to thy husbands. Let thy days be ever passed in duly entertaining and reverencing guests and strangers arrived at thy abode, the pious and the old, the children and the superiors. Be thou installed as the queen of the kingdom and the capital of Kurujungla, with thy husband Yudhishthir the just. O daughter, let the whole earth, conquered by the prowess of thy husbands, endued with great strength, be given away by thee unto Brahmins at horse sacrifice. O accomplished one, whatever gems there are on earth, possessed of superior virtues, obtain them. O lucky one, and be thou happy for a full 100 years. O daughter-in-law, as I rejoice today, beholding thee attired in red silk, so shall I rejoice again when, O accomplished one, I behold thee become a mother of a son. Right, so this here then, in the blessings we see then, are also all the duties mentioned, all the mentalities. Now, she's giving her all these blessings, meaning she's pleased because she had these nice qualities. Right? Possessed of a sweet disposition and good character. Right? In the wedding ceremony, then it says, one of the rules of the husband says, be the lord of thy husband's father, be the lord of thy husband's mother, be the lord of my husband's relatives. So the husband is giving a blessing to the wife that his wife will actually be the controller of all his relatives. So how is that done? I mean, she gets out a rolling pin, she just got, the nastiest things to say, so everybody stays out of the way. How does she become the lord? Yeah. Yes. By her good qualities, she conquers them. Right? So then, having conquered them like that, then she controls them. Right? Because everybody wants to be conquered by good qualities. Right? No one's complaining about that. You get annoyed if you're conquered by bad qualities, but no one's annoyed if you're conquered by good qualities. Right? So then, having done this means she's already conquered her mother-in-law. And so now she is giving all these blessings. So we see in here is that the element of service then is very, very much there. So she always has service, but notice she also has all facility. Whatever there is to have, she will have it. Right? Does that make sense? So this idea is, okay, the woman must serve. Yes, the woman serves because whatever is available is given to her, right? According to one's status. Does that make sense? This is not a matter. She doesn't say, may you get a nice jewel, all the jewels, right? Does that make sense? Because they're emperors of the world, so whatever are the greatest jewels in the world, they come by. Does that make sense? So that's in status of her husbands. Does that make sense? So it's not that, okay, I did this and now forever now the woman should serve. No, always things are being arranged. So therefore, then they're always serving. Understand? Not very palatable, but it's the reality. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, service is something that's going on, so why wouldn't be what generated the service always be going on? Right? Otherwise, if facility is created once, service is rendered once. Right? Facility is constantly being generated, then service is constantly being generated. Does that make sense? Like that. According to one's status. Right? Brahmins live in the forest, they have nothing, so they get a few leaves or flowers, but that's what's available, so then they're happy. Does that make sense? It's dynamic. So we see here all these things are done. Be lucky, may prosperity, may she always be prosperous, may they always be doing sacrifices, may they be always giving their wealth away in charity, right? You'll obtain all the wealth and you'll be able to give it all away to the Brahmins, right? She doesn't say, may you get everything and may you hold on to it and hoard it and sit on top of it like, a dragon and, make sure nobody else gets it, right? Does that make sense? Like that, The husband's tiger amongst men and the wife's a dragon, right? They go together, tigers and dragons. Right?
Why would Jogini Sansa be killed when they were young, despite being these blessings?
Why would they be killed when they're young? No, it says, I behold thee become the mother of a son, she got blessing to for she'll be happy for a full 100 years. The battle was Krishna was 125, so she had been happy for 100 years, because in those days they lived for 1,000. Yes. No.
It mentioned that you have sons who live long life and be heroic.
Did? I shall rejoice again when, O accomplished one, I behold thee become the mother of a son. Where did it say? It said she will have a long life. Let the days be ever passed in duly and entertaining and reverencing guests, strangers, the pious, the old, children, and superiors. Right? That means she'll be taken care of and respectful towards her husband, her guests of the family, strangers. Here, strangers means Brahmins who comes. The pious, the old, children, and the superiors. So she'll always be engaged in these things. Didn't say that. Everybody hears what they want to hear. Right? Vaishampayana continued. After the sons of Pandu had been married, Hari, Krishna, sent unto them as presents various gold ornaments set with pearls and black gems, lapis lazuli. Madhava also sent unto them costly robes manufactured in various countries, and many beautiful soft blankets and hides of great value. Many costly beds, carpets, and vehicles. He also sent them vessels by hundreds, set with gems and diamonds. And Krishna also gave them female servants by thousands, brought from various countries and endued with beauty, youth, and accomplishments, decked with every ornament. All right, so even though the maid servants, it's still that they were dressed very well. Right? He also gave them many well-trained elephants brought from the country of Madra, and many excellent horses in costly harnesses, drawn by horses of excellent colors and large teeth. Hmm? Right? Why would it mention horses' teeth?
Because that's how you see the health of the husband.
Is that a Freudian slip there?
Yeah. The youth of the horse.
Aha, by the teeth. Oh, when they're shorter means they're older. Okay, because Prabhupada was telling the stories about when the boy and girl get married, you know, after you have that procession where they go in the car and, you know, everybody's there, you know, after the marriage when they go to the reception and all that. So he says, then the husband and wife are sitting there in the car, and the husband's thinking, yes, today I'm the king and this is my queen and everything's wonderful like that. That's what the boy's thinking. And he said, and the girl's thinking, now I've gotten myself a donkey who's going to work hard and get me everything I want. So therefore here, checking the teeth of the husband, yes, it seems to have some direct connection here, like that, some subtlety that you revealed there on the slip of the rules. Okay. And also it mentions here the elephants from Madras. Why, what's special about South Indian elephants?
They're more intelligent and smart.
Not as necessarily more intelligent. The north ones have the bigger heads, but they're much more attractive. The South Indian elephants are much more beautiful, because just their features are very much more fine. The North Indian elephants are very big, like that. But it's also they're very easy. They can be trained very well. They can do so many things, like that. Okay. And many excellent horses in costly harnesses, cars drawn by horses of excellent colors and large teeth. The slayer of Madhu, of immeasurable soul, also sent them coins of pure gold by crores upon crores and separate heaps. And Yudhishthira the just, desirous of gratifying Govinda, accepted all those presents with great joy. Right? So someone gives you something, they want you to accept it and be happy, right? Crores and crores of gold coins, right? So, you know, these won't be these little dinky 7 gram gold coins. These would probably be good, you know, I don't know, 15, 20, 25, 30 gram coins, you know. That's a you know, generally you see these old coins are big, you know, so that would be a good 30 grams or more. So how you say? You have crores and crores of that, so that's pretty wealthy, you know, and that's solid cash, right? That's not just some numbers on the internet, you know, that's some real stuff here. Okay, so then, yeah, so that ends this section. So this is now ends the whole, what do you call it? The Swayamvar of Draupadi, you know, the arrangement of their marriage, the fight, the bewilderment of Drupad, or the anxiety of Drupad, then his happiness, their marriage, now all the gifts, the blessings, and so then that ends. So that was a complete marriage, right? Yeah, very nice. And now we'll start the next Vidura Gamana Parva. Now Vidura will bring them back, and they'll be reestablished in their kingdom.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Prabhupada Ki Jai.